Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. All right, guys, welcome to the next lesson. This is lesson 21. This is all about mastering your masculinity. This is part 5. So we're going to be today talking about the benchmark 2. Benchmark 2 about solid frame. So let's keep going here. So in the map of masculinity, we have quadrant 2, which is about solid frame. So we're going to be looking at the benchmark of solid frame. So the solid frame benchmark sounds like I'm just repeating myself like crazy. So if you remember on the map, there is the star, the XY axis is the risk paradox, fortitude on the right and courage on the left. And the up down Y axis is the relationship paradox. So it has autonomy on the bottom and connection on top. So this is the quadrant on the bottom right. So this is at the corner between fortitude and autonomy. And this is the benchmark called solid frame. So solid frame is found where the commodities of strength and freedom meet. So fortitude and strength is on one side and autonomy and freedom on the other. So this is where they link. So these categories seem to fit together like a hand in glove, and they create very, very significance for concepts of the life of a man. So remember that fortitude and strength on that side of the equation is where the concept of power comes from. So we, as men, have been designed to be powerful and strong. As the last quadrant was in the interaction between strength and relationship, benchmark 2 is about the man's relationship with himself, his autonomous self, and his strength. So remember that. So the other one was connection and relationship, and remember all the things that came from that, providing, protecting, and how the relationship actually interacts with fortitude and strength. This one is how it is my relationship with myself, me being alone, autonomous, and how that interacts with my strength. So this is what solid frame is. It's the benchmark in this quadrant. So at the crossroad of fortitude and autonomy, it's having a strong self. It is internal fortitude that can withstand storms and hold up under pressure. It's developing a strong core that's immovable, sustainable, and unshakable. Solid frame is significant in that the masculine has been designed to be driven and defined from deep internal realities found within a soul of a man. The masculine has been designed to be solid in freedom and strength in a personal structure which is integrated, whole, and internally referenced. Solid frame describes a state of confidence, concreteness, and a sense of being immovable and unalterable. It's having clear boundaries because you know who you are, what you want, and where you're going. It's having a solid internal core which is not driven by what other people think. It's not being a pleaser, but it's unalterable internal confidence and an internal moral compass. Solid frame describes a person with internal structure, stability, wholeness, and consistency. So remember, solid is a word that I've chosen as a primary word to describe manhood. If I were to have only one word to describe a healthy man, it would be solid. Consider how a rock is solid. It's firm, it has depth, it has gravity. The rock is there, usually to stay. You cannot easily move it. It's reliable, it has substance, and it holds fast. Consider how that is different than liquid. Anything solid holds its own shape. The substance of its shape does not change except under the most extreme circumstances. It has stability, and you know what it is when you see it and when you feel it. It is solid. Liquid has often been a word that describes how the feminine moves. It's the polarity of masculine solidness and feminine fluidity which interact with each other, and there's attraction and bonding, such like the poles on a magnet or molecular bonds in chemistry. The masculine has been described as a container for the feminine. The container, being solid, holds the shape, and the fluid takes the shape of the container, whether it is like a glass or even a reservoir. The feminine energy is fluid. The masculine can hold that energy in a way that allows for freedom and expression of the beauty of the feminine. In a similar way, the masculine could also be described as the riverbanks, and the feminine as the river itself. The riverbanks guide and lead the river to move in certain directions. The feminine pushes back against the banks, yet eventually will move with the firmness of those riverbanks. Many women enjoy this artful dance, and it is the designed movement between the masculine and feminine. The energy of lightning has also been a metaphor as well. So imagine the feminine being the lightning and the masculine being the lightning rod grounded to the earth. As grounded, the masculine has the energy, the capability to direct the energy. This happens often in a relationship, much to the consternation of the one who is the lightning rod. If you're not grounded, it is a horrible experience. If you are grounded, it's no problem directing the energy into a harmless direction. You don't have to carry it, and you can stand up to it. Being grounded is like being centered or anchored. It also is an aspect of solid frame. Anchored or centered are terms which describe someone who is deeply connected to themselves and somewhat immovable with their emotional and spiritual state of being. Having a strong internal frame is how to develop a solid core and becoming anchored and centered in life. Frame is a word that describes a basic structure that underlines something, like, let's say, the foundation of a home. Usually it's something strong and firm that surrounds a picture or a doorway. The frame holds the things together. Framing is just part of building a house that has basic structures like walls, headers, joists, rafters. It makes up the frame of the house. The frame of a man is his internal structure, just like the house. And I often refer to this as integrity. There's a design or a blueprint that's intentional about the internal frame of a man. The blueprint is what this map of masculinity reveals. The first quadrant revealed the structure of power 4, remember, protector and provider. This quadrant is solid frame, and the next two quadrants reveal even more of the blueprint and design of the structure of a man. The word frame is also used in the world of dance. So with many ballroom types of dancing, the lead will hold frame. With a strong posture, firm arms, confident movement, guiding toward the steps in the dance. Most women enjoy following a strong lead that has this kind of frame, and they're very frustrated if there's not strong frame. And this really correlates really well with real life. So as the second benchmark of masculinity, solid frame is an aspect that must be developed if you're going to become good at being a man. Holding frame in the face of any kind of difficulty or void experience in life is not easy, but it is what we're shooting for. Sometimes men crumble as things get tough. If a wife criticizes, it's met with immediate defensiveness. If a boss demands unethical behavior, you do it out of fear that you'll lose your job. If life gives you lemons, you go and play video games or look at porn. What is the thing that keeps a man solid like a rock? What will develop that internal fortitude that holds fast under difficulty? What gives a man confidence enough to lead into uncharted waters? The answer to this is mostly answered in the second pillar, embracing the void. The void is the place where we are initiated into confident manhood. We find out we do have what it takes, and we're enough to handle just about anything that comes along. Frame, similarly, is concreteness and a sense of being immovable and unalterable. Frame is having a clear vision because you know who you are, what you want, and where you're going. This is not giving too much consideration to what other people think, you're not a pleaser, but having an unalterable internal confidence. Integrity describes this. Integrity is structure, stability, wholeness, and internal consistency. Solid frame is something that is developed over time in our lives as we push ourselves into and through tough situations. It is grown. Our solid frame is grown and developed when we stay in and embrace the void for as long as necessary. We'll often intentionally engage in discomfort so we can grow. We find out who we are, what kind of stuff we're made of, when we engage in those uncomfortable situations and experiences. So find out what kind of material you're made of and push into that discomfort. Men are made of some of the strongest materials you can imagine. Not only do we have good muscles, we have good hearts. We have strong abilities to build our intellect and logical processes. We have deep intuitive and instinctive strength. We are able to withstand incredible loss while maintaining firm control of a situation. Our souls are made of good identity and moral compass. We can take quite a bit. As we've talked about before, we are kind of anti-fragile. Most of us have experienced good coaching. For me, the best coaches knew exactly how far he could push me. As a young man, I had a very limited idea of what my body was capable of, but I was pushed way beyond what I thought, and it produced some very good outcomes for me in athletics. What I'm giving you here is the same thing. You're capable of withstanding so much more than you think. You have the capability in yourself to become and be a man with incredible solid frame. You're way more than you've ever been told, and you've got it all inside of you. This is what Pillar 1 was all about, creating a solid internal frame of reference. This quadrant of masculinity is all about developing a strong internal integration of all your internal resources, a sense of wholeness and completeness, and the strong internal frame and confidence that will hold fast in just about any circumstance. Solid frame is fully expressed as a man is internally referenced, driven and defined by realities based in his true identity, his integrity, his intuition, and his intention. Solid frame is not just a metaphor or an idea. It's actually a concrete ideal which every man must seek. This is a significant way that a man becomes good at being a man. So let's talk about the muscles of benchmark number 2, honor and integrity. So reflecting on the concept of solid frame, the two solid frame muscles are honor and integrity. These muscles are found between the fortitude and autonomy and are expressed through the commodities of strength and freedom. So let's look first at the honor muscle. In the solid frame quadrant, leaning toward the side of fortitude and strength is the honor muscle. Honor is an ancient virtue which speaks to deeply held internal beliefs and ways of seeing the world that seem archetypal or even sacred. Honor holds the standards set forth by ancient internal and communal realities. Honor is worthy of respect and imitation. Honor is doing what's right, holding fast to one's own moral compass or a code of ethic. Often a person of honor has a code of honor. That is, that has a certain standard of conduct that they will follow without hypocrisy. They say there's no honor among thieves, but that's not true. It's just a different kind of code, such as you would never snitch. Everybody has some kind of belief system or worldview which guides them how they move through life. Everyone has a worldview or belief system, but does everyone have honor? Not in the least. True honor is based on some very basic principles. True honor has an ageless value. Courage, benevolence, protection of the innocent, being a voice for the voiceless, valuing all life, mercy, loyalty, consistency, character, hospitality, generosity, and self-discipline are some of those values. Honor is highly connected to two things, your name and your word. Your name is your character and substance of your identity behind your moniker, like Bill or Bob. Your name represents all that is under the surface of your being, expressed in your behavior, your choices, and your movements in life. Many men will sell out their name without honor, allowing lies or deceit to take them down. But a man of honor upholds his name with powerful self-respect. His name is one of his most valuable possessions. John Proctor, in the book, movie, play, The Crucible, he screams out at one time. He is so manipulated in this story, and he screams out, "I have given you my soul. Leave me my name." It's a pretty powerful scene, and he sees that his name is an incredibly significant possession. So next, a man's word is another priceless possession. As you cannot put toothpaste back in the tube, the words that come out of you are forever out there. A man of honor will use his words and his voice with generosity, grace, skill, and blessing. He knows his words have deep meaning, especially to his children. He will speak with integrity, and what he says is what he means. His words are his words of honor. Out of the four agreements, one of the four agreements by Miguel Ruiz is be impeccable with your word. I think it's the first of the four agreements. Many groups throughout history have had a code of honor. The samurai of Japan had the Bushido code. And there was a medieval code for the knights who were across Europe. And many warrior court cultures, like the Spartans, had a warrior code which guided their behavior. Even today, there's codes of honor in our armed services which outline the highest values. Living with honor is living with the expression of those highest values of humanity. So here's a few more values to help you develop an idea of honor as you exercise your muscle of honor. Justice. Justice is what is right, good, and noble. It's a form of fairness that each person should be treated rightly under the law with the same consequence. Whether it's a contract of behavior determined by mutual consent of a group, rules determined by a natural state of being, or laws given by God, justice is a set of rules or laws which determine right behavior. As a man of honor, you uphold justice in all circumstances. You will fight for the rights of people who are abused or dispossessed. You'll stand for ideals which you know are right and honorable. It is within the quote, "I will defend your right to disagree with me to the death." As an internally referenced man, you will have a set of core beliefs that will guide you through life. Standing for these in the defense of others is justice. Much has been said that good people had been led astray due to despicable acts, like in Nazi Germany, when they lived for external ideals rather than internal value and truth, justice. They thought they were fighting for justice, but had lost their internal frame. This external pressure to belong or fit into something greater, along with the Strong's narrative given, has deceived many people to do horrible things in our history. I think people have talked about that with the Nazi German guards who would do things to the Jewish people that they never would have done, but to fit in to, but they lost their core and they actually did things that were just horrible because they didn't maintain their honor or their solid frame. So we would like to believe that in our world, we would stand up if any of those moments ever came to us, even to the point of death. But if our frame of justice is fragile in any way, we too could fall to that kind of tyranny. So when we have, or if we have, our give me liberty or give me death moment in my life, if that ever comes, may we be found to have a strong frame of justice. The next one is authority. So similar to the words dominion and dominate, the word authority has been somewhat reviled in our world today. Authority is power and the ability to make decisions and to have control. Authority as power reminds us of the power for construct. Real authority begins with having a strong internal authority. Within myself, I have power. The ability to make decisions and self-control. Ultimately, when it really comes down to it, you can only control yourself anyway. So when the authority is tyrannical or a power over type of power, it's unhealthy and used wrongly. As a man grows into a person with deep internal authority, his influence increases greatly. People are willing to follow since they know his authority is set to empower and to release others to live well. This is the true authority that a man with honor wields. Becoming a man of authority is a great goal in life. To have good, positive influence in the lives of those you love and in your community is a great goal. To lead others toward increased well-being, confidence, and freedom is what true authority is all about. Responsibility and ownership, the next category for honor. Many people live with the posture of victim, where they have no interest in agency or responsibility in their life. They're being done to. Masculinity is the opposite. It has a strong sense of agency where responsibility is taken for just about everything. Being responsible creates a posture of power and authority. Responsibility places you in a position of capability and competence to get things done that you want to get done. Instead of being done to, you're doing the world. Jordan B. Peterson says this, "Responsibility is the meaning of life. Pick up something and carry it." Often men are reluctant to take responsibility since they will be blamed for mistakes or when things go wrong. You know, it's always a man's fault. While this seems unjust, it's just fine to me, since this places you in a position of power and volition. Would you rather have power or be a powerless victim? So take the buck stops here mentality. No longer be a victim. You will begin to actually then have real control over your own life. And this is a strong aspect of honor. Fidelity is another word. Fidelity is faithfulness to something. It's giving your heart fully and loyalty to a cause or a person. It's commitment to that cause or that person's well-being and success. Fidelity is a strong byproduct of having a solid frame and is a very clear part of what it means to have honor. his fidelity does not easily waver. Conviction. Conviction takes your belief to a higher level. I not only believe something to be true, but it is a sense that something is right, and it's the right way to do or to be. A man with conviction holds fast to this sense with uncanny focus, which sometimes even feels over the top, especially if there's some evidence to the contrary. Like fidelity, conviction does not waver. It remains secure and locked in. Character. A man's character is his deep moral, ethical, and personal qualities. It's inherent defining aspects of who a man is. In this sense, it's not just that he has a strong personality or personal qualities, but he has a sense of self that is quality. His being has an immovable grouping of qualities that are the essence of a good masculine man. He's someone people will look up to as he moves through life. You want this man on your team. So other words that describe honor. So let me look at these here. So we have justice. We have authority, responsibility, fidelity, conviction, and character. So other words that describe honor are standing up, standing firm, setting boundaries, unapologetic, speaking clearly, holding fast, non-argumentative, not pugnacious, self-controlled, honorable, endurance, resilient, prepared, vigilant, responsible, goodness, self-controlled, physically present, intentional, virtuous, temperance, open, insightful, doesn't worry, doesn't wallow, is present, holds strong in fear, decision maker, ethical, unwavering, truthful, aware, self-confronting, confessing, admitting wrongs, honest, sure, anchored, impeccable with his word, uncompromising, centered, internal moral compass, wise, aware of sacred, humility, gratitude, values, stability, faithful, unwavering, grounded, and spiritually connected. That's quite a list right there. Hopefully some of those really resonate with you as you lock in the idea of what honor really is. So the TLA, three-letter acronym for honor, is IWD, impeccable in word and deed. So as with all aspects of the map of masculinity, true honor is lived out from an internal frame of reference. Having a strong goal to be impeccable with both your words and your deeds is important. Impeccable means that you're upholding the highest standards of propriety. This means your word is true in all you say. This means that your deeds are honorable in all you do. This is a simple way to live out honor. This gives a man the ability to have great influence as he strengthens his voice, what you say, and his presence in any situation by keeping a firm grasp of his deep internal truths. He will build trust more readily. He will be more reliable, and anyone on his team, whether family, work, or sports, will be able to count on him to show up at all times. The next one is the integrity muscle. So the solid frame quadrant, and leaning toward the side of autonomy and freedom, you'll find the integrity muscle. For this muscle to really become yours, you must remember that there are three main aspects of integrity. The first is that integrity is all about developing an internal structure, like a building with an internal structural integrity. It will not collapse even under extreme conditions. Your solid, immovable internal structure is your goal as you build this muscle. Secondly, integrity is about developing integration, in which a system or a person lives in a holistic way. Integration brings all the parts of a man into complete working order. Many men have lost the ability to integrate important parts of ourselves, like emotions, wisdom, mind, body, and spiritual aspects of life. Therefore, we've lost our integrity. Because of shame, we have become disintegrated, and we are unable to live in an integrated way. Thirdly, integrity is about developing wholeness, like an integer. A whole number is complete, lacking in nothing. A solid man of integrity is whole and complete. Other people in his life are necessary for a full life of thriving, but he is solid in wholeness, and there's no "you complete me" BS. I'm already whole and complete. Building integrity in your life is a lifelong endeavor. You will always have room to grow. As you develop this deep internal core, you will build so many parts of you and your confidence will soar. You will develop the solid frame that you want. Integrity has internal structure, the integration of all your good parts, and wholeness. So here's a few other concepts that will help you to learn how integrity is a part of your life. So, wise. A man of integrity is constantly on the search for wisdom. Remember, this is from lesson 4, wisdom is optimum judgment for optimum action. It's using the best information that you have and make the best move in life. Integrity is not only wisdom as a goal, but wisdom is the essence and integrity at its core. The integration of the internal processes or resources within the frame of a man is one of the most profound avenues of discovering and discerning wisdom. Wisdom is also found with the accumulation of knowledge and understanding through collecting ideas and beliefs from scriptures, great literature, wise people, and what's happened in history. If he does not know the answer or needs more information, he will ask questions to increase his knowledge base, even asking for directions. He will ask for help with humility because he gathers all his good intel, and a man with solid frame has a deep well of wisdom within his frame. Compass. A man with integrity can be trusted to be a light in a dark world, a guide in the midst of uncertainty and chaos. He may not know exactly where to go or what to do, but he has the internal tools to make the best move with the information available. With his integrity, he has a good sense of true north and is oriented to be able to discern which way is the right way. And he's able to guide and lead well in most situations. Confident. A man of integrity is confident in his internal capabilities. He knows he can handle just about any situation that may come his way. He's aware that his internal resources will guide him well. He is well practiced in listening to his intuition, his spirit, his emotional processes, and he knows that these have guided him beautifully in the past. His posture is strong, sure, and upright. He is not a poser and has left the feeling of being a fraud behind long ago, since he now knows who he is and what he's really capable of. His confidence is real and not contrived. It is not arrogant or boastful. It's quiet, sure, and it's a sense that he has what it takes and nothing needs to be proven or acknowledged. He's grounded. This man is anchored and grounded into something deep and strong. Not only does he have confidence that he can handle just about any situation that may arise, He is being locked into the depth of the foundation of life itself. As a part of something much larger than himself, he anchors spiritually to his source and physically to the earth. He is connected. Because of this deep connection to self and to source, he will maintain frame as he moves through life situations that used to crumble him. So, other words, wait, let me go back to the words that describe solid frame. We're talking about the integrity muscle. So, the integrity muscle has wise, compass, confident, and grounded. So the other words that I have, general words listed for this, integrity is also confident. I guess I just said that. But confident, unshakable, integrated, whole, complete, structure, internally referenced, internally defined, internally driven. True self, well-defined, real, authentic, knows who he is and what he wants. Unattached, indifferent, differentiated, conscious, deep awareness of internal realities, resourceful, emotionally aware, physically aware, relationally aware, introspective, a non-judgmental observer, and disciplined. So the Integrity TLA, three-letter acronym, is HTC, Hold the Center. Holding the center comes from an idea from the poem by W.B. Yeats, The Second Coming. One line in the poem says, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold," referring to the cultural state of things in post-World War I Europe. And you know how things did not hold, and things definitely fell apart back then. But for our endeavor, I don't have such a bleak outlook. I believe men can hold the center in great times and in the most difficult times. Holding the center has less to do with the external realities of our culture, keeping the machine running, but maintaining a strong sense of self in a deep internal place. If men are able to hold the center internally, there will be positive ramifications in marriages, families, communities, and eventually in the entire world. When things do fall apart, either in society or sometimes it happens in a family, which things do fall apart at times, the center will hold when individual men keep their own centers held. If a significant number of men were able to hold their internal center in any circumstance, the world would always come out stronger and evil would win less often. All it takes is for a few men to speak up, to stand up, and to be willing to hold against evil or against entropy, which will change the course of our communities and our world. That's a pretty cool thing to think about. So now let's look at the solid frame archetype. The archetype is the king. Many images come to mind when you consider the word king. Of the many examples you can think of, maybe obese Henry VIII with his purple robes and all his rings, King John the Crusader, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, King David from the Bible, King Solomon, or King Herod from the Bible. How about Screwy King Louis from the Jungle Book? Or all the multitude of characters vying for the Iron Throne in the Game of Thrones. Whoever or whatever comes to mind, there are characteristics that qualify that individual to be a king. So king is a ruler who has authority and sovereignty over a place or a group of people. It's usually a position given by birthright or sometimes taken by force. Regardless, the man sitting on the throne now has control and power that no one else has. He has the power to dictate the direction of a country, what people will do, and even the laws that determine the behavior of his subjects. In the solid frame quadrant, the archetype of king, is about being a man who has control and sovereignty over his kingdom. For most of us, this idea feels like a stretch, or pushing into something kind of uncomfortable, especially as Americans, who for our entire lives, our history, has taught us that kings are something that would cause a good old revolution. We've fought for independence, and by God, we're going to keep it. To say, of course, now that you have sovereignty over your life, be the king of your own life. So sovereignty is independence and self-governance. It's expressed as freedom to be and to do as you want. The Western ideals of individual freedom were developed from two arenas, Greek intellectualism and Christianity. Both of these forms of thought and belief placed a significant level on the importance in personal and individual sovereignty. Each person was able to develop their own freedom and self-governance. Consider your life. It is your kingdom. Your life is your playground. It's the space upon which you build that which you want and desire. You see the great works of men who have come before you. They built infrastructure, inventions, ideas. These men have created and developed kingdoms. In comparison, we often see ourselves as small, meaningless, or powerless. I'm not a kingdom builder, you say to yourself. I don't have a kingdom. Now, this is where you are so wrong. You do have a kingdom. Even if it's really small right now, in the smallest form, your kingdom is you. And with all the abundance that our world offers, your kingdom can grow mighty if you have vision and intention to build it. Consider this. Today, we experience so much more luxury than all the kings and any of the kings in the fairy tales or real history ever did. Toilets, running water, hot showers. They didn't have electricity, lighting, appliances, tools. They didn't have transportation, trains, planes, and automobiles. They didn't have the food that we have, stocked shelves, year-round seasonal food, restaurants, or communication, phone, texting, email, Wi-Fi. Today, even the poorest people in America live in more luxury than Solomon, Cinderella, Henry VIII, or even Charlemagne. I remember going to a castle in Germany, and way up on the top of it, there's a little hole off to the side, and they said that was the toilet, kind of the poop chute, where they just pooped off the side of the castle. And this is where the richest of the people lived. It's just crazy to think. Anyway, our kingdom is made of all these services. They're available to us at our whim. We have Amazon products, we have coffee, gas stations, delivery, medical and dental services. We could take a flight to Las Vegas this weekend if we wanted, or just call home. Think of all your servants that are at your disposal who move into your service anytime you want something. You have a kingdom. I'm going to call Uber for a car, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to call for pizza, whatever. Everybody's at your disposal to get you what you want. We're like kings. We're all kings with luxury beyond anything a king of old could ever even imagine. They couldn't even imagine the way we live today. So we are kings, how we have it. And all that you have, all that you need, you have it. Life is abundant. So your woman is your queen, enjoying all this by your side. You can create a relationship you desire. You can build her up into the beauty as she has been designed. Or you could break her down. You have that kind of power. You can build your kingdom to reflect goodness, beauty, and justice. Or you could let it be small with anger, addictions, and revenge. Whether or not you would follow the Bible or not, whether or not you would follow the Bible or not, it's kind of a weird way for me to say it. The Bible does speak to the idea that the man is designed to be the leader of the household. Like I'm saying, the king. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul talks about how the man is the head of the wife in a similar way that Christ is the head of the man and the church. It's not a command or something to obey, but a reality. It's something that is internal. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." In Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." So men have found them in a position where their woman will let them lead or give them permission to make decisions. This is really backwards to how things have been designed, as though the woman is the head. The idea of being the head is what I'm talking about, being the king. Don't wait, don't ask, just be what you've been designed to be. Don't wait for permission, be the king. It's time to blow the hell out of that small kingdom that you've had and rebuild it into abundance and greatness. Take your queen, your space, your life, and create a great vision for what you want and what you will make it come alive to. Then begin to build your kingdom. Expand this into the great world with intent and love. So own your life, own your story, rewrite the narrative, and create the beautiful ending. You have everything you need to make it so. So as a man with solid frame, you are a king. As a guardian of your own realm, you have the sphere of influence, no matter how small or large. It starts with you, then extends into your family, your workplace, your friends, your community. You have the potential for more influence than you might have ever realized. The king is centered, and as centered, he has a strong connection with his source and the transcendent. Even the king is under the power and influence of God. When a king considers himself as greater than the transcendent, that's where his hubris overtakes him, and then his kingdom fails. We've seen that all the time. So don't let that happen. So a king is decisive. He's able to choose and make decisions based on the wisdom that he has collected internally throughout his entire life. He considers the well-being of his subjects, wife, kids, employees, whatever, and makes choices for the best of all in the kingdom. That's the power four quadrant. A king is integrated. He is a man with solid frame, and as such, he trusts his internal processes and moves with confidence and strength. Since he is well on his journey to slay the dragon within, he pursues the dragon without. He creates order out of chaos and expands integration from within to without. So here's a quote from Brett McKay. He's from The Art of Manliness. Quote, "The king has not only integrated all the other archetypes, but seeks this wholeness in other areas of his life as well. He mends broken relationships, keeps his word, acts with honesty, and takes responsibility for his actions. He is who he says he is. He doesn't have one set of principles for Sundays and one set of principles for the rest of the week." Unquote. The king inspires others to greatness, blessing all under his care to do well and to experience abundance. He recognizes and honors others for who they are and what they have achieved, and he sees greatness in others, continually moving them towards even more greatness. As his power grows, so does all the power of everyone around him. The king leaves a legacy. He has a deep desire to leave the world in a much better place than when he arrived. This is an essential aspect of the king archetype. He carries his power with the power four posture, where he is dominant but not dominating. He is an influential leader leading to the promised land. So the distortions of the solid frame quadrant. The two main distortions of the solid frame quadrant to watch out for are spinelessness and lack of leadership. Spinelessness is having a very weak frame. It is when a man is externally referenced and he lives by the expectations of others and doing what would make others pleased with him. A person is externally referenced when their identity or their motivations are determined by external influence and what is expected of him. When categories external to you define you or drive you, this is when a man will lose his integrity and his solid frame. At this point, he's no longer driving his own life from an internal reference using the vast resources within. An externally referenced individual is just a raft on the ocean, driven by the wind and the current without determination or control over his own life. The negative consequences of such a life are numerous and profound. Because his life is all about pleasing others or living up to their expectations, he has no backbone. He doesn't stand up for what he knows is right, nor does he stand straight with a posture of confidence. He's also spineless because he lives in this compartmentalization, which is the propensity to live in segmented categories in life. Some people will describe this as having different rooms in your house of life. Each room is a different set of values, identity, expectations, or maybe some other variables. It's the life of the chameleon, living in diverse ways in distinct parts of life. At work one way, school another way, at home another way. Personal integrity and the integrated self is lost completely. His self has been disintegrated into parts with no solid structure or wholeness. Therefore, he will not hold fast to his values and his moral compass in all situations. The spineless man also lives in secrecy, which is another result of the non-integrated self, which is externally based on toxic shame. The life of secrecy places the individual into a position of isolation and aloneness or hiddenness where several various fig leaves need to be worn to keep the illusion of wholeness or value. Since he hides significant parts of himself, he will never be able to stand tall when the spine is called upon. Lack of leadership occurs when a man fails to understand his masculine soul, his role in family or community, and his own ability to create the life that he wants. He allows others to guide and direct his own life and direction. Leadership is influence, where a man will guide and direct not only his own life, but the lives of the ones he loves and cares for in a way that takes deep consideration for the well-being of them. The man with no leadership allows other forces or people to take the reins. Leadership requires that you know who you are, what you want. That's how leadership is done. If you do not know what you want and where you want to go, you'll never lead, and your life will nevertheless, you'll never lead your own life, nevertheless someone else. This man has no vision for what he wants, therefore he has no influence. Surprisingly, this is where abusive men are developed. Since they have no power to direct their own lives, they think their only option is to be aggressive or controlling, to control others to get what they need. The benchmark of quadrant number 2, solid frame, is I know who I am and what I'm capable of. I will influence my world from a solid internal frame with honor and integrity. Things will fall apart, but my solid frame will hold fast. My center will hold. So here's some concrete steps to gain solid frame. Responsibility. I am responsible for my life, and I will engage in strong personal boundaries. Gaining ownership in the area of solid frame requires you actually start to have a solid frame. You must begin to see yourself as responsible for your own life. You are not a victim. You're an active part. You're not a victim or even an active participant in your own life. You must take full responsibility for your own life and take it where you want it to go. First, begin to notice how you ask permission, say you're sorry, hesitate, or second-guess yourself. These are all ways, indicators, that we live in someone else's frame. Just take time to notice. Don't kick yourself for it. Just see it for what it is. Secondly, start to choose the things in small areas of your life. Go golfing, go to have beer with a friend, or choose to work out. Live in your own frame. Third, lead your own life. This is your life, no one else's. Take ownership and run with it. Trust your internal resources and make those good, healthy, wise choices. Self-care. To maintain personal integrity, I must engage in intentional and consistent self-care. The king must care for himself so he can move with strength, intent, and wisdom in his kingdom. If you don't listen to your internal resources, you will not live to your fullest. Trust your body, listen to wisdom about caring for your body, and then implement those things. Taking care of yourself is how you will maintain solid frame. Just like building your power, get in shape, get the sleep you need, eat well, get medical help you need, especially if you're not sleeping well. This is the most internally referenced quadrant, so listen carefully to your internals and choose wise actions accordingly to keep care of yourself, and it's your most valuable resource, you. Balance. Keeping a good balance in life will help you hold your center. This quadrant is quite strong on the side of internal fortitude. Living with internal fortitude is like being a solid rock that doesn't move. Be that rock. Your balance will be developing proficiency with the other quadrants while being the immovable stone. This is part of where the paradoxes become real. Each quadrant seems mutually exclusive of the others. Maintaining balance with all these quadrants will be a huge part of mastering the process of becoming good at being a man. Now, let's move from building our own inner kingdom and expanding our world. So the next concept is moving from building our own inner kingdom to expanding your world and your outer experience as you develop quadrant three. So quadrant three is going to be quite interesting for you, I hope. So solid frame character comparison. Let's look at the characters that we had. So the first one is Jesus. So here's one of the men who had honor to the point of death. Seems like they all do. But he held fast with what he believed. He knew what was truth and kept firm on his mission, so much so that they killed him for it. He was willing to piss off the leaders of that day, both spiritual and political leaders, by holding fast to his solid frame. As the king, he has the kingdom, which is not like any other kingdom on earth. It's a kingdom based on freedom and love. Maximus. His unwavering sense of honor was what gave him the ability to build the trust of the other gladiators. They, like the men of his army, were willing to follow him into any situation, even if death was imminent. His internal solid frame is in vivid contrast to the pathetic weasel Commodus, who would not only sell his own soul but that of his sister and his nephew. Where Commodus had no center, Maximus held his firm in many situations. So William Wallace is next. In the end, he was disemboweled with his cry, "Freedom!" He had held tightly to that concept his entire life. It was what defined his solid frame, and he never wavered from that cry. Aragorn. With the Fellowship of the Ring, he was surrounded by all kinds of men who had difficulty maintaining their strong internal frame. As many around him faltered, he held fast in his honor, belief, and hope. His solid frame kept all around him strong and hopeful. The story ends with Aragorn being crowned as the rightful king of Gondor. We don't see how that plays out afterwards, but we know that he will do well because he has solid frame. Let's look at some others. So there's other characters from literature and history who have had a deep lack of solid internal frame. You have internally tortured characters like Judas, Lieutenant Dan, Lieutenant Dyke, Boromir, or Gollum, whose inner turmoil created a clear lack of frame, honor, or integrity. There's Long John Silver, Iago from Othello, Lando Calrissian from Star Wars, who would sell out others without flinching. For that matter, Han Solo was kind of a dick without much frame. You remember what he did to Greedo? Who shot first? So let's look at the group questions of Quadrant 2, Solid Frame. So remember that Quadrant 2 is at the crossroad of fortitude and autonomy, where we develop an internal, incredibly strong internal sense of fortitude. The motto is, I know who I am and what I'm capable of. I will influence my world from a solid internal frame with honor and integrity. Things will fall apart, but my solid frame will hold fast. My center will hold. It has the muscles of honor and integrity, the three-letter acronyms of the impeccable of honor is impeccable in word and deed, IWD, and in integrity, hold the center, HTC. And it has the archetype of the king. So balancing fortitude, being strong and closed, and autonomy, standing on your own 2 feet, can be a challenge to some who have not developed a solid sense of self or differentiated identity. How have you been stuck with either needing others to validate you, not a strong self, or unwilling to embrace being strong? Solid frame means that you have an internal structure that is immovable and firm. In what ways is that true for you, and how is that not true for you? The motto is, I know who I am, what I'm capable of. I will influence my world from an internal frame with integrity and honor. Things will fall apart, but my solid frame will hold fast. My center will hold. How is this true for you? And how can you make this motto become more of a reality in your life? Honor is doing what's right, holding fast to one's own moral compass or code of ethic. In what ways are you a man of honor or not? The acronym for the honor muscle is be impeccable in word and deed. How have your words and actions been incongruent, maybe even hypocritical at times? Besides being honest, integrity has in structural integrity, integration of all your parts, and wholeness. How do these words describe you or not? The acronym for integrity is hold the center. How does your center crumble or get defensive when there's opposition, obstacles, or criticism? The archetype is being the king of your own kingdom. Describe the kingdom that you have right now and describe what you want it to look like in the future. Take a look at your answers. What stands out to you? Which of these concepts seem to be areas which need work? List at least 5. For each of the things you listed, think of 3 things that you could do to become more confident with that concept. For instance, if you don't feel qualified or you're uncomfortable with the idea of the king archetype, you could read a book that considers that archetype, like King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, or Ryan Mickler's book, Sovereignty. Or you could talk to any man who you respect who has built a business or a ministry, or sit down and write 10 things that you want in your life, or brainstorm about your 1, 3, 5, or 10-year goals. So what other thoughts or insights do you have about this lesson? Lesson about Quadrant 2, Solid Frame. So with everything else, man, building this into your life is gonna be huge. So guys, I'm glad to read this for you, and as always, stay solid, my friends.